The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Started. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Diana Clark. Happy to be here. And happy hour, we talk about gladdening the heart and mind. It's nice. Good thing to do. So sometimes if we want to think about the narrative arc of our lives, the really big picture, bird's eye view of our lives, we can think of it as a type of continual exploration. Like, oh, okay, now this is what's happening in my life. This is what's being experienced, both on the really kind of intimate small level as well as on the kind of really the big level. But this kind of continual exploration, or even maybe we're not even exploring specifically, but this kind of having new experiences that we hadn't had before, it's kind of part of what life is about, part of what becoming an adult and growing up and maturing is about, is meeting more and more of these experiences. And this exploration has many elements. Could be lots of elements of that in it. And some of these may just last for a short time. Maybe we have some time where we really explore, but whether we intend to or wish to, something uncomfortable, regret, remorse. Or maybe we have decades where we learn about how the conditioning from our earlier life continues to unfold and affect us. So there's lots of different elements of kind of this exploration. But one a key part of this, or important element of exploring, is to have this capacity to know and be with our experiences, what is actually happening, as opposed to be continually bouncing off of them and just being reactive with them, but to be able to kind of have a little bit of curiosity, a little bit of engagement, like, oh, what is this? What's going on? What's happening? Way to, can we cultivate our willingness just to be with what's happening in their experience? And not in a complicated way, not in that it has to be like an archaeological dig or something, but just increasing our capacity to just meet what's happening in a simple way. Like, okay, this is what's happening. As best we can to meet it, not with some particular obscurations, particular view, or not able to see things clearly, but to see them as clear as we can. And to recognize that there are both kind of difficult things that in our experiences, and there's lovely, beautiful things in our experiences too. So part of this is to learn to be intimate with our lives. In this way, it's much more satisfying and interesting, frankly, right? As opposed to just be thinking about our lives or just to be barely touching them, you know, just be kind of like going through the motions or something like that. It's not always easy. So that's one element of this kind of exploring, is learning how to just cultivate this willingness to be with our experience and the capacity to be with it. And included with that is the sense of self-awareness, this capacity and willingness to learn about ourselves and to have this connection with ourselves, including that part of ourselves that we maybe kind of wish really wasn't there. Or that part that maybe we aren't even really in touch with, but we can feel our reactivity or our... maybe sometimes when we have a response to something that happens and the magnitude of our response doesn't match the magnitude of the event, We know that there's probably something there, but we may not even know what it is exactly or something. So can we be with all aspects of ourselves, even those parts that we're reluctant to be with or that we find it difficult to be with, including maybe heartache, maybe a feeling of a hole being inside of us, some emptiness, or maybe anxiety, whatever it is we may feel difficult to get close to. And in this way, if we, rather than pushing them away, but kind of cultivating the capacity to be with them, our lives can be really rich, really meaningful, really authentic. So part of loving kindness practice, which is what we're going to do today, is to help us increase our capacity to be with everything. All our experiences, the pleasant, the unpleasant, those things that we're obviously aware of, and some of those things perhaps we're not aware of. So loving kindness practice is a way to, it supports openness, supports kindness, supports calmness, supports consciousness or awareness or spaciousness in which we can see these things. And plus, it just feels good often, right? To kind of have this sense of loving kindness. Just this can be nourishing, supportive in that way. So here for a happy hour for loving kindness practice, we'll start setting the intention to have loving kindness for a benefactor. Somebody for whom it's easy for us to feel love or care or respect. Somebody for whom it's easy for us to feel a warm-heartedness towards. There's no reason to make this difficult. And it turns out that cultivating loving kindness doesn't matter for whom in particular necessarily, but just that activity of setting the intention and working with loving kindness, that alone really helps create the conditions and helps support our lives. So even though we may be having a difficulty with some particular experiences, and it may be with this particular person there, we don't have to start with loving kindness there. We can start with loving kindness for a benefactor or for ourselves. It's just that movement of the heart, kind of the opening of the heart and allowing some spaciousness and some ease, calm. So as I said, we'll start with the benefactor, somebody for whom it's easy to feel some warm-heartedness towards. If there isn't somebody that comes to mind, you can use some other being. Some people like to use kittens or puppies or babies. I was just recently on a video conference call, and it was so sweet. There was a number of us on this call, and one person was speaking, and she couldn't see, but behind her, her cat was walking like back and forth, and we were all smiling, you know. It was just, you know, it's kind of sweet. Often we share our lives with, you know, these furry family members. So if that's helpful, you can bring to mind something like that that kind of makes you smile and have some warm-heartedness. So with that loving kindness practice, we'll have this intention to be cultivating, sending, developing loving kindness towards a benefactor. And we'll use three different elements. The first is to visualize and or have a sense of this person or a lovable being in your mind. Some people find it easier to visualize than others. I myself am not a person that I find it so easy to visualize, but I know there's plenty of people who do. We all kind of have our own way. but to bring to mind in some way the benefactor. The second element is to check in with the felt sense. I'm going like this because sometimes it's in the chest or the heart center or the belly. I use this expression, warm-heartedness. So is there a warmth here, or maybe there's some warmth in the belly or some spaciousness or ease? So our felt sense of perhaps loving-kindness. And then the third element to help support the development and cultivation is we use phrases. And I'll say phrases which you can repeat silently in your mind as a way to just like keep on coming back to our intention to develop loving kindness and to be sending good wishes to this person. Then after we've done it for a little while for a benefactor, then we'll just open it up and do loving kindness for ourselves. That can be enormously helpful and meaningful to do loving kindness for ourselves as well. So with that as an introduction, let's take an alert, upright posture, one that expresses some alertness, but also has ease in it. And we'll begin by taking three long, slow, deep breaths, just as a way to connect with the body. Perhaps with the exhale, there can be some letting go, some softening. Maybe not, too. And to support some warm-heartedness and ease, we'll check in with the body and help support the body finding some ease, comfort. It's so common to hold tension behind our eyes, between our eyebrows, in our jaw, and not even really realize it. So you can just bring your attention to those areas and see if there can be a softening, a letting go. You can check in with the neck and the shoulders, allowing the shoulder blades to slide down the back. And with the back, and the chest, and the belly, we're just bringing our awareness to these areas of the body. Sometimes there can be some letting go or relaxation that happens, but we don't have to make anything happen. It's okay if there's still some tension there. Can you be okay with it? Can you allow it to just be there? Rather than trying to push it away or kick it away or something. You can feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. Feel how you're being supported. If there's some tension in your legs, maybe even your feet. The arms and hands. And then we'll begin with a little bit of mindfulness of breathing, where we'll bring our attention to the sensations of breathing. Maybe the feeling of air going in and out of your nose. Feel the warmth or the coolness there. Perhaps the expansion, contraction of the chest. Or maybe the movement up and down of the abdomen. Whichever is the easiest for you, most accessible. You can just rest your awareness on the sensations of breathing. Right now, there's nothing else to do, nowhere else to be. We're just very simply placing our attention on the sensations of breathing. It's the nature of the mind to want to explore, perhaps get lost in thought. If you find this happens for you, just very simply bring your attention back to the sensations of breathing. There's no need to have a commentary about how well you're able to meditate or not meditate. That's not necessary. That's extra. For just a little bit longer here, see if you can give yourself over to the sensations of breathing. So this practice of mindfulness of breathing, just resting the awareness on the movement that corresponds to breathing, you can always come back to this practice. When we're doing loving kindness practice, sometimes the opposite of loving kindness arises. Right? There's no guarantees that because we set an intention or we adopt a particular posture or something, that loving kindness will arise. Sometimes the opposites arise. See if that happens. A few things you can do. One is you can come back here to this practice, mindfulness of breathing. Or you can make your awareness as big as possible in any way that that makes sense to you. And just allow those non-loving kindness feelings, ideas, thoughts to be there. We don't want to have aversion to aversion. See if we can have some gentleness, some kindness for them if they happen to arise. And then to begin our loving kindness meditation, bring to mind somebody for whom it's easy to feel loving kindness towards, some warm heartedness, respect, care, love, and somebody for whom you have an uncomplicated relationship. You may or may not know this person well. And again, you can choose something adorable that makes your heart open also. And then to help cultivate and develop this sense of loving kindness, warmth, we repeat the phrases and see if you can connect with the intention behind them, the sentiment, without being sentimental, but the meaning behind the phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And check in again. Bring to mind the benefactor. If this being is no longer in your mind, maybe check in and see if there's a warmth feeling, or perhaps a feeling of care or openness. It may not be there, that's okay. And you're welcome to modify the phrases, to use words that resonate and are meaningful for you. And of course, they don't have to be in English, whichever language. It might be fun to play around with and explore how your heart responds in different languages. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now I'll be silent for a little bit here. You can practice at your own pace. And now we'll expand our loving kindness practice to include ourselves. Of course, right? Of course, we deserve loving kindness. We can send it to ourselves. So we can build on any warmth of the heart or softness that we experience by having loving kindness with the benefactor, and just include ourselves. Make this circle of loving kindness bigger to include us. Some people like to visualize themselves to help support this practice. You can visualize yourself as you are now, or perhaps a younger version of yourself. Maybe even as a toddler or a baby, if you find that supports a sense of warm-heartedness. Or alternatively, or in addition to, maybe there's less visualization and more just a felt sense. What is it like to be here, sitting here now? And again, we'll use the phrases to help support this loving kindness practice. Just changing the pronoun. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. If you notice any tightness or constriction or knot, see if you can just allow it to be there, kind of including that in the sense of loving kindness or warm-heartedness. This practice is about allowing all aspects of ourselves, even the uncomfortable ones. If you are feeling a sense of loving kindness, warmth, love, care, you can allow it to get as big as it would like without forcing or making anything happen. Just allowing. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And now I'll be silent for a bit. You can continue with loving kindness practice for yourself or anyone else that you would like to include. Or perhaps you'd like to return to mindfulness of breathing. You can follow your intuition here. What would be the most supportive, the most helpful? And then to end this meditation, feel the pressure of the cushion or the chair against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So in this way of cultivating loving kindness, way of kind of having a warmth and spaciousness and openness in the heart and mind, kind of really helps us have just in general inner and outer kindness. And when we have that inner and outer kindness, helps us to be with our experience. Helps us to be with what's happening in our lives. Helps us to own those little parts of us that we're trying to disown. That turns out you can't actually do that. Instead, it's more just a movement of kind of bringing things be whole, just bringing them in like, yes, this too is part of my experience. Doesn't match my preferences, perhaps, but okay. It's the reality of what's actually happening. So loving kindness practice can really support this capacity to be with what's actually happening. So now I'd like to open it up to any questions or comments. I can talk about some of what I said before the meditation or questions about the instructions. Or perhaps share a little bit about what your experience was like, how the transition was from benefactor to self. Were you able to, some people will talk about maybe they don't stay with a benefactor or find that the person that they choose changes. Or those moments of silence, how was that? Was that a relief? Like, oh, finally she's quiet. Or maybe during the silence, maybe you found yourself drifting off even more. Would anybody like to share or comment? I'll use the microphone so everybody can hear.
Hello.
Hello. I'm not sure if it's on. Does it?
Is the green light on?
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For that. I guess as an experience, I struggled staying alert. Found my body was very sleepy during it. My question to you is, how do you see this practice within your whole practice?
Yeah.
How does it integrate?
Yeah, it's a good question. First, I'll talk a little bit about the sleepiness. Right, it's not uncommon, right? Here we are at the end of the day. Maybe you worked all day and rushed to get here and like, oh, there. So I'll just say here's a few things to think about with regard to that. If you're sitting in a chair, it can be helpful if your body allows you to not be using the backrest. So just kind of the little bit of energy that it's required to sit up straight without a backrest may help kind of support that awakeness. A second thing is to open your eyes just a little bit so that light comes in, not so that you're looking around so much, but that just to look maybe with a 45-degree angle down. And then maybe how I'm, like, today I was just kind of slow and easy the way that I was doing the phrases, but maybe there can be a more energetic way you can do them. So instead of following my lead in particular today, I noticed that I was a little bit slower, and that maybe say twice for every time I'm saying it, you know, not in a frantic way, but to kind of use your interior mental experience as a way to kind of bring up some energy too. So just offer that, because I'm sure you're not the only one that's having this experience. And then the question about loving kindness practice and kind of integrated in terms of one's greater like meditation practice. I can say for me, there have been times when I've done a lot of loving kindness practice, and a lot of times when I did just mindfulness practice, and sometimes when I was doing a mixture of both. So, and I think that part of, just like I started off by saying, we kind of like explore our lives. As we're doing that, we realize that, oh, there's maybe I could some cultivating some tenderness here would be really helpful. And so I've just have noticed, like with some difficulty sometimes, I myself would do a lot of loving kindness practice. But also sometimes with difficulties, I'm just doing mindfulness practice, learning to be with them. Also, sometimes I use loving kindness practice as a way to feel, to kind of enhance the sense of connection and compassion with my life, my world, my experiences. So as a way to kind of like nourish and support a sense of, I'm going like this, kind of like a connection too. There aren't any hard and fast rules. I know some people who start every meditation period with some loving kindness first and then switch to mindfulness like within the same meditation period. I know some people who go on long retreats, you know, will spend a month in silence doing nothing but loving kindness, and then maybe they won't do loving kindness again for many months or something like this. So my answer, I guess, is my experience is kind of following a little bit of my intuition and kind of what felt like what was supportive for my life and my practice in general, and without any really strict guidelines of how it should be. Maybe I'll say one other thing. There are some people too, and there was a time when I was one of these people where I felt like, I don't know, that's like sentimental, sappy, weird stuff. I don't want to do that. So there can be this time of like, for me initially, that's where I was like, oh, that seems too sentimental. I kind of want to do this mindfulness thing. So there may be times when it feels really dry and not relevant. Whereas some other people feel that way about mindfulness, like what is that that just doesn't feel, they can't connect to it, but loving kindness is really meaningful for them. And most of their entire meditation practice is about loving kindness. I think it's fantastic. We get to find our way with this. There isn't one particular way. We can explore, be creative, and experiment and find what helps us kind of soften our hearts, open our hearts, and to be with our lives and to find greater peace and freedom. Was that helpful?
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else have something they'd like to say?
Hi, thank you for that. I have the opposite issue that when I go into loving kindness and I have the benefactor, and I imagine them, in my case, it's one of my sons was this time, I quickly got overwhelmed and so I'm kind of asking for a cheat, like, can you help me interpret what this feeling is? Have you ever had it where it gets so overwhelming? It kind of simulates a joyful feeling, but it's not totally comfortable. It's like there's so much bursting out of me that I get I can't contain. What is that? Like,
yeah. Yeah, this sometimes happens, and it can be uncomfortable.
And I had to go back to watching my breath because I couldn't.
Yeah. Can you describe a little bit, how was it in your body?
It's here, and it's kind of feels like it's choking, or like there's just so much kind of, it's like a fire hose. I'm trying to get a fire hose worth of, you know, water through a tiny, to through a much smaller, so it's kind of choking me here, and I can feel my heart reacting and the speeding up. It's like a log jam, like, you know, you rush to the emergency exit and 100 people are pushing against you. It's kind of a panicky almost.
Mm. Mm.
But, and I lost sight of him. Like, I was like, I love you, and, you know, may you be safe. It was just so much that I had to
stay. Yeah. So that seems perfectly fine that you went back to the breath. This sometimes can happen when there's a certain amount of settledness of the mind, then all of a sudden there's this whoo, and this can be like really energetic, and it can be uncomfortable. It can also be joyful too, right? It's a mixture. It can be a big range that sometimes you feel like, oh, make it stop, and sometimes you feel like, wow, that was quite something. So some things to do is to go back to the breath. Another is to like maybe open up your awareness if you can, if that makes sense. And also maybe to check in, is there any sense of some gentle well-being, happiness, pleasant? If there's anything like that, it may not be your dominant experience, but if it's there, maybe you can move towards that and allow this other experience to still be there and doing what it's doing, but to kind of, if as best you can, to put your awareness, if there is, there may not be, but if there is a sense of happiness, well-being, or pleasant sensations in the body. Third thing you can do, if it just feels like, oh, get me out of here, is open your eyes. That can, you know, kind of really help shift things. Fourth thing is to bring your attention to the sensations of your feet on the ground, kind of like to be here and now. So that's a combination of all things. You can open up, you can see if there's some pleasantness and maybe direct your attention there. Open your eyes or have it on your feet. But this does happen sometimes. There's a word in the kind of the Pali language for it, piti. It's kind of called, it's for thousands of years people have been experiencing this. So if I don't know exactly what you experienced, my understanding of what you experienced is that, let's say that, because it may be something else too. But you're welcome. Would anybody else like to make a comment, have a question, share something?
Okay, I'm coming back to ask something. I'm having really strong deja vu, and it makes me wonder, what is there a, is there in the tradition an explanation or a understanding of what that is when that happens to us?
Deja vu.
Yeah.
I would say that the tradition would say, oh, that's just one more kind of like mental event that arises and passes away. I don't know of anything in particular that's about one that has an event that has great familiarity to it, but this wow, okay. Just note it, that's there, and then it ends. Okay. Oh, yes, you have a question.
When we talk about mindfulness, it's also possible that that you could apply that term to everyday happenings. That is, you're being mindful of your of what you're actually doing, and trying to keep your mind on your what you're actually carrying out. Do you include that? When you say mindfulness, couldn't that be also applied? Would that be the same sort of result as loving kindness or attention to breathing, for example, as a sort of a general question as to what's the advantage of doing mindfulness on your everyday thoughts?
Yeah, this is a good question, because in answering his question, I was talking about mindfulness and loving kindness, which are two different types of meditation, but they don't have to be done in meditation. They can be done in daily life, and it's the same idea. With mindfulness, as we did at the very beginning there, you choose an anchor. Very often it's the breath, doesn't have to be. And when you notice that your mind has gone away, then you return to it. And then, or your mindfulness, you're also open to whatever the experience is. So that, in a few sentences, is mindfulness meditation. Whereas loving kindness is more like we're kind of cultivating a particular capacity and maybe some sensations. We're cultivating something in particular, whereas mindfulness is more just allowing whatever is there to be there, and we're just noticing it. And you're right, it does not have to be in formal meditation. It can be just in daily life. It's like knowing what's happening and knowing that we know what's happening. It's kind of like a mindfulness. Maybe I'll put a tiny little plug in that we're teaching Introduction to Mindfulness Meditation. The first class was just a few hours ago, and it's on Wednesdays, and everybody's welcome to attend. You don't need to have attended the first one. Oh, it's at from 1:30 to 3. And if you're not able to make that, we have plenty of recordings of it, too. We teach it regularly here. Yeah. And you'll find it on our website. It's also on a shorter version on Thursday nights. So it's 7:02, maybe 7:01. So I'd like to say thank you to everybody. And if you have a question or comment, you're welcome to come up here and ask me. So thank you.